Well, shifting gears now from famous heist in the art world to a college football recruiting scheme that's causing some problems today in the normally tranquil environs of the Patriots training camp.
Yahoo Sports reported yesterday that Patriots nose tackle Vince Wilfork may have violated NCAA rules when he played at the University of Miami by taking thousands of dollars in cash and other perks from a former booster for the school.
On most Wednesdays, we turn to Bill Littlefield, host of NPR's Only a Game, to talk sports. But Bill is away this week, and we are joined instead by Only a Game's Doug Tribou. Hi there, Doug.
Hi, Anthony and Magna.
Hey there.
So, Doug, first of all, tell us exactly what is Vince Wilfork alleged to have done?
Well, Wilfork is one of 72 players that's been named by a former booster named Nevin Shapiro. And Shapiro is serving time. He's serving 20 years of a federal prison sentence for a massive Ponzi scheme that he ran, $930 million. But he was also a booster of University of Miami Athletics, and he says that he gave gifts in upwards of millions of dollars worth of gifts and perks to players. He says that he gave Wilfork $50,000 to eventually sign with his sports agency company. He also said he paid him for hits against rival players. And he says that he also gave him a washer and dryer, all kinds of different things through the course of his career at Miami.
Now, not to downplay the seriousness of these charges, but this is also just the latest recruiting scandal to hit the NCAA. So to that effect, I mean, is this going to be anything more than a distraction for the Patriots now?
Well, the problem for the NCAA and for the University of Miami is that their reach ends at the end of the player's college career. So the actual impact on Vince Wilfork or any of these other players is probably relatively minimal, or at least it looks like it will be. But it will be some sort of a distraction. You know, Wilfork has already turned down requests to comment on it. There are some much more serious allegations involving prostitution and different things like that within it, not involving Wilfork, involving other players, but it's probably just a distraction for pro players.
Doug, let's move on to a sport we normally don't talk about that much, and that's professional cliff diving. And the Cliff Diving World Series will be in Boston this weekend. And who knew there were cliffs in Boston? Doug, you got to tell me about this.
I've been out there looking for them all day. No, the Red Bull Cliff Diving Series is coming to the ICA at Fan Pier, and they're going to actually have divers diving off the protruding roof of the Institute of Contemporary Art building into Boston Harbor. So that's going to be a sight to see.
Boy, I bet. Now, tell us, what's the big difference between professional cliff diving and Olympic high diving?
Well, the most obvious difference is the height. Cliff divers go off at 80 feet. For perspective, those people who look way up there in the Olympics, they're only diving 10 meters, which is about 32 feet. So more than double the height, and they're going into Boston Harbor again. I mean, it's absurd.
What a sight that will be.
I just hope that harbor harbor is deep enough
right,
when they land.
Exactly.
But Doug, on to one more form of bodily expression, if I could call it. I understand you spent some time talking or exploring something called Broga.
Yes, that's right. There is a class called Broga, which is yoga for men. The instructor, Robert Sidoti, is starting this up. He's been teaching it for about 3 years on Martha's Vineyard, just launched a new class in Somerville. I went to a class a couple of weeks ago, and it is yoga for men.
So, Doug, I have to ask you, I try to do yoga sort of from time to time, painful as it is. It does me a lot of good. It hurts. But I'm curious, how is this class that you went to, how does it make yoga more appealing to men?
Well, I don't do yoga, but from what I understand, there's not normally as much of an emphasis on upper body strength, chest, shoulders, that sort of thing. He also de-emphasizes chanting and some of the more sort of ethereal elements that go along with some of the classes. And the instructor, Robert Sidoti, says the name of the class can be a blessing and a curse.
I'm offering something and creating something, a concept that I believe is real. It has depth. There's integrity. But I have to understand that it's a name that you can really play with. You know, I mean, there are so many broisms that you can throw in with this. You know, it's like, get with the program, stop procrastinating, get to the, you know what I mean? It's like, it's marketable beyond.
Get with the program.
I tried to get with the program, and I'll tell you, it was a tough workout. But it is probably not for every guy, but it was a very hard workout.
Were the guys who that you did work out with, were they likely to come back, do you think?
He says that he sees a lot of return customers. They're only about 8 or 9 classes in Somerville, and already there were at least 2 guys there who had been a few times before.
Doug Tribou, thanks so much. Producer for NPR's Only a Game, which airs right here on WBUR on Saturdays at 7 a.m. and again at 7 p.m. Thanks for coming in, Doug.
Thanks a lot.
Downward dog right now, Doug. Tomorrow on the show, something a little more serious. In 1998, Americans adopted 20 children from one town in Sierra Leone. Now their birth families say the children were stolen. Investigative journalist E.J. Graff joins us to talk about the growing legal and ethical troubles in international adoptions. That's tomorrow on the show.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at Boston.com. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.